Welcome to the Divorce Coaches Academy podcast with co-founders and hosts, Tracy Callahan and Deborah Doak. Each week, we tackle another tough topic to help professional divorce coaches maximize client impact and cultivate thriving practices. We also want to spread the word about the expertise and value that certified divorce coaches bring to the table. At DCA, we are committed to ongoing learning and we value generosity among divorce coaching professionals. We believe that when one succeeds, we all succeed. Welcome back to Divorce Coaches Academy podcast. I am Tracy and I'm here with Deborah. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. So whether you are a professional divorce coach or an individual navigating the divorce process, co-parent communication can be one of the biggest challenges. Well, today we are bringing you Stephen Nixon. Hi, Stephen.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thanks. Yeah. Stephen is the founder of Talking Parents, and he is here to talk about the reasons you might want to introduce a co-parenting app to your clients or your co-parent. So just a little background. Stephen is the founder of Talking Parents and a 2007 graduate of Florida State University College of Law, go FSU. Stephen worked as an assistant state attorney and assistant public defender in Florida's First Circuit and as a solo small firm practitioner prior to founding Talking Parents. So Stephen, so happy to have you. I know that there are lots of things that you want to share with our listeners today. So I think let's just jump right in if that's okay with you.
That sounds great.
All right. So basic, but most important question, why should divorcing parents use a co-parenting app?
You know, from my perspective as a family law attorney years ago, you know, I found that I sort of inherited a family law practice. I had no intention of being involved in family law. It was actually my law partner. My brother was doing family law and I was doing criminal law. I enjoyed criminal jury trials and things of that nature. And I didn't especially want to do a lot of family law. But I ended up, my brother left the firm and I sort of inherited that family law practice. And what I found very, very quickly with even just a limited number of family law cases was just this overwhelming presence of poor communication between all of the parties involved. Every client that I had, regardless of the nature of their case, you know, a large part of why we were in court, why they were paying me, why the other side was paying their attorney, why we were going to court, really came down to poor communication between the parents. And, you know, some of that is just that they didn't get along and didn't seem to want to communicate effectively. But then a large part of it also seemed to be that they maybe thought that they were communicating effectively when they, in fact, were not. They thought that they were on the same page. They thought that they were in agreement about things, but then came to find that they were not. And then they would come to their lawyer to try and clean that up or go argue about it. And, you know, the original idea for Talking Parents came to me after I had an especially long, difficult hearing. We went to court for the entire afternoon. This case had been ongoing for a long time. It was a modification. It was not a real big deal. It had something to do with the kids' extracurricular activities that the parents thought they had agreed about. Now they were arguing about it. Who was going to pay for what the child was actually going to do. And this has been ongoing for a very long time. You know, they had paid a great deal of money to their attorneys. It costs a lot of money to go to court. As you guys know, it takes a lot of time to go to court. Just the incredible amount of time, resources, and money being spent. And we went into that hearing, and it was an incredible waste of time. I mean, what we had were just stacks of emails, stacks of text messages that had been printed out, stacks of social media messages that had been printed. And we really just burned through the entire hearing trying to establish what these people had actually been saying to each other. And who had agreed to what. And we never even got to the point of making any of our arguments. You know, we never even really got to the meat of the issue because we spent all of our time digging through this stuff trying to just establish a record of what they had been saying to each other and who had actually agreed to what, or what was even at issue. And at the end of the hearing, you know, the judge looked at he dismissed the clients and sat down with the lawyers and said, guys, one of you has got to figure out a way for these people to talk to each other so that at least when we come into court, we don't spend the entire time trying to just establish what they've been saying to each other. I just need like some sort of reliable record of what their communication has been. And that's where I went back to my office and thought, well, that surely that must exist. But when I went looking for it back in, this would have been 2009, it just didn't. I just wanted a simple app. This is before apps, really, a web app, a website that they could go to, sign up, create accounts, have those accounts sort of match together, and then they could talk to each other. And instead of creating these two dueling versions of their records, because, you know, when you send an email, sometimes it's almost like sending a letter and keeping a carbon copy for yourself. You may be able to say, well, I sent this letter. I've got the carbon copy right here, and it's got this date on it. But that could be different from the version that the other parent gets. And so what we would see a lot is somebody would be able to produce an email showing that they sent something at a particular time. But then the other person would find their copy and say, well, look, mine says I got it days later or some other time. Or I sent a reply. Look, I've got a record of my reply. Oh, I never got that reply. Or maybe I got that reply, or wait a minute, that must have gone to a different email address. Or maybe I replied to you on Facebook or MySpace, you know, a long time ago when this was first built. So it was just a mess. And so what I envisioned and what I wanted Talking Parents to be was just a single record that both parents could essentially reach out and write on, but that we, Talking Parents, would hold. And if either party needed a copy of that record, they would be able to get the same record. So that when they went into court, there was only one record. And then, of course, I wanted them to not be able to modify anything that they had said, to make edits or changes or deletions, because we wanted to make sure that, you know, people couldn't put something in there and then just take it out later to try and make themselves look better, sort of change how the record is. So I initially came at the problem from a very sort of practical standpoint of, I just need this tool, this way for people to talk to each other and communicate and to keep a perfect record of everything that they say. So I was coming at it, you know, very much from the side of a litigation attorney focused on evidentiary issues. Yeah. But of course, the result of that over time has been that if people know that what they're saying to each other is being perfectly logged, and they know that there's only going to be that one record and that they can't edit it, they can't delete anything, they can't finagle it, then hopefully the result is that that encourages them to try and be more civil when they're talking to the other parent, to try and take the communications that they have with the other parent a little more seriously, to make them a little bit more formal, you know, get people to put a little bit more thought into it. They know that if the exact time that the other parent wrote them is logged and exactly when they view that message is logged, and exactly when they write back is logged, and then that the message they write back is going to be, you know, uneditable. There's not going to be any arguing over when it was sent or what it said. Then they put a little bit more effort into it. And then what do you know? They're resolving more issues on their own. You know, so by trying to create this tool that would be useful for me as an attorney in court, you're also encouraging the users to resolve more matters on their own and try and be a little bit more civil and try and put a little bit more effort into it. And so, you know, even though I was coming at it from the point of someone who's only thinking really about litigation, you know, the end result is that it is encouraging parents to communicate more effectively and to resolve more things on their own and to not go back to court and to not have to keep paying their lawyer and to not have to keep paying the court reporter and taking the day off from work and doing all these other things and basically burning through all this money.
Right. So it sounds like a happy accident side effect is that it improved people's ability to manage themselves when they're communicating and be a little bit more thoughtful, like you said, and intentional about the message that they're sending as opposed to just firing off a text or making a phone call.
That's exactly right. You know, and it's
someone's watching.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Maybe somebody might be looking at this, right?
Somebody might be looking at it, or it's an accountability tool, essentially, right? I'm being held accountable for what I say, when I said it, whether I did read that, right? It kind of gets rid of all those shadowy areas of somebody can't say, I didn't see that message. Actually, we can see you viewed it on March 17th at 10:02 a.m.
That's exactly right. So, you know, even though it sounds, you know, sort of cold, you know, especially as a lawyer, you know, we're going into court and we're arguing, I'm thinking, ooh, I need better evidence. But the reality is that it encourages mm-hmm. this higher quality communication between the parties.
Right.
And, you know, early on, and especially, you know, even today, people will think about using a service like Talking Parents and they think, well, you know, what is the benefit? Why would I pay for this if I'm using the paid version? But the reality is that it will save you an incredible amount of money. You know, it's what the feedback we hear from users and have always heard, you know, is that it makes their lives not only easier from an emotional standpoint, makes them feel better as a person, which, as we all know, you know, makes their kids feel better. You know, if the parents are doing better and are less stressed in living a healthier life, then the kids will too. But then on a purely just, you know, dollars and cents level, it saves them a lot of money because they're not having to go back to court nearly as often. And when they do have an issue that can't be resolved and they do have to get involved in any kind of litigation, it's much more likely to be resolved, you know, through mediation and through other professionals who can look at these records that we keep. You know, we have not just the messaging records. Parents can now pay each other through our service. They can make phone calls through our service. Those calls get recorded and transcribed. Yeah,
I want to get into a little bit about you sharing with our listeners. How does Talking Parents work? Like, what are some of the features? What does it do? We've talked about the fact that they can message each other and everything's time stamped and tracked, but it does a lot more than that too, right?
It does. You know, when it was initially built, when I first had the idea for Talking Parents, this was a long time ago. There were no smartphones, or smartphones were brand new. Nobody had them. I think I got a BlackBerry at some point after Talking Parents was built. And so they would have to sign in through a web browser on a computer. And the only service we offered was messaging. And so it went that way for a while. And that's still true. You can still create a free account through the browser on any device, including your phone, sign into your account and message each other for free. But over the years, we've added in a lot of new features and a lot of new functions for parents. We do have apps now. And so we do have an iPhone app. We do have an Android app. So you can still access it through the browser on your phone if you want to, but you can also get the device specific app. And then we've added in a lot of new features. So we've still got our core messaging. But one thing I'll say is that every time we add a new feature, we don't do it and we don't add it until we're able to truly log every aspect of what happens with that feature. So, you know, something about Talking Parents is that we've always been focused on those records and we remain focused on those records. And every time that we add a new feature, you can get a record of everything that happens through that new feature. So, for example, we added in a shared calendar for the parents. That's very useful. There's a lot of shared calendars out there, but when you're using the Talking Parents shared calendar, everything that you do through that calendar is logged. And so we log, obviously, the details of the event when you create an event, you know, the date, you know, any of the details, any of the explanations you put in there. But if you edit that event, those edits are also logged on a record. If you delete an event, that deletion is logged on your calendar record. So if you have a parent who is constantly changing the calendar at the last second, or maybe they put something in wrong, maybe it was on accident, maybe they did it on purpose, and then the other parent misses something, and then they go back and change the calendar to try and cover that, then that change will be logged on your calendar record. You know, when you're using the calendar as a feature, it's very user-friendly. It works like you would expect any calendar to work, so that it's not jammed full of edits and deletions. But what you can get is a complete calendar record that has mm-hmm. all of that stuff on it. The same is true. You know, we enable parents to pay each other through the app. But you, in addition to getting a record of all the payments that are made, we try and log all the information we can get there. So if a parent is constantly initiating a payment, but it always fails, and it always fails for sort of the same reason, we log whatever information we have about that failure. So we log when the parent tries to initiate the payment, we log when it actually goes through, how much time was that in between. And if we get the information back from the financial institution about why a payment failed, that's on there as well. So we try to put all the information we have onto the record. So we still have
It's a lot of accountability, and you're eliminating the whole he said, she said, she said, she said, he said, he said conversation that people used to argue about in court. And now you're simply saying, no, we actually have the facts here. Everybody's held accountable to what they do, and we have this record keeping to demonstrate that.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And, you know, that was fairly easy to do with messaging. And so it gets a little bit harder as we add features, but every feature that we have on Talking Parents, you can get a record of that feature. And so, you know, you've got messaging, we've got the shared calendar, you have the ability to make payments between parents. We have sort of an information bank library area where you can put important information regarding the kids. If you want to just have a place to keep their, you know, their doctor's information, their school information, things that, you know,
quick schedule,
material. But again, you can get a record of that feature that will show all the edits and deletions within that feature. Mm-hmm. You know, at no point, nowhere within Talking Parents can you do something that isn't being logged, or you can manipulate that record.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about the calling feature? Because I know I've got some clients that were thrilled when you added that.
The calling feature has been really cool. You know, before you record people's phone calls, it's very important from a legal perspective to make sure that they know they're being recorded and are consenting to that recording. So before either parent can even make or receive a call through our system, they have to specifically go through that consent process. And of course, they can withdraw that consent at any time and turn off the feature so that they can't receive calls through the system. But what it does is it enables the parents to make a telephone call to each other through Talking Parents. They can do this through an old-fashioned landline, actually. You can still receive the call through an old landline. You can also make the call as a video call as long as both parents are using it as a smartphone. So we have a couple different options there. And they can actually make a telephone call through our service. And as you can imagine, we create a call log. So we log every time a parent tries to initiate a call. We log whether that call was actually successfully connected. Did the other person pick up? We log how long the call lasted. That's the stuff you would expect. We also create an individual file of the call itself. So, you know, as an attorney, when I'm going into court, if there is a particular call that is relevant, and that I need to use as evidence, I'm going to want to have a separate piece of evidence there for the call. I'm going to need that actual call file. So we give you that so the users can download the actual call itself. And mm-hmm. so each call essentially gets a serial number. So you can look at the call log and see that number, and you can match that up to the actual file itself that contains the audio or video file of the actual call. Mm-hmm. Other thing that parents that you can do is you can have our system will automatically transcribe all of your calls onto that call record.
Nice.
And so they can get a call record that is in PDF format that they can search electronically. So let's say that parents had a call. Let's say they have a lot of calls, but there was this one call where something came up. And later on, that something is now an issue and that something that they're in disagreement about, they may be litigating it, they need to go back and find it. What they can do is
search orthodontist or something.
Exactly. So they can upload a copy of their call record that includes those transcripts, find which call included that information, and then find out what part of that call included that information. Then they can mm-hmm. download that exact call, go to that part of the call and find exactly what they were looking for. Because as we all know, maybe the issue wasn't even what was said. Maybe it's how it was said. And so the call itself is very important there. So we log, like we do with everything, we log all the information that we have for these calls. And you know, One of the other issues with calling that is true for our entire service that I wanted to mention is the fact that parents don't have to know each other's actual contact information to communicate through Talking Parents. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Talking Parents, when I was a young prosecutor, you know, we would go to first appearance, which is sort of your first appearance for a criminal case. And a lot of cases were misdemeanor domestic violence cases. And people were going to be released on their own recognizance, but they were to have no contact with the alleged victim in the crime. And they would often say, but judge, you know, we have children together. How does that work? And the court would turn to, you know, somebody from pretrial services and say, well, you figure it out. You go talk to the victim. You talk to the defendant. Try and figure out some way for them to talk to each other only about the children. You can only talk about the kids, only in writing. And it was always a hassle. And what we found with Talking Parents is that courts love Talking Parents as a solution in those situations because they can order the parents to use Talking Parents. And not only do they get a perfect record of everything that's being said between the parents so that they can know that it's being limited to the kids only, but the parents don't have to know each other's contact information. You can block the other parent's email. You can change your phone number. You can delete them as a Facebook friend and block them. You can cut off all contact and they don't have to know how to contact you, but you can still talk through Talking Parents. You can still share the information through our service and even make calls through our service, have them logged perfectly without even having to know the other parent's actual information.
Right. Yeah.
Huge, right. Hugely important, right? So I know there's also a lot of resources for professionals, right? There's also information that people can access. So what's some stuff that you would like to share for our divorce coaches that are out there listening to you share this information, in addition to the amazing features of the app and its intent also in providing records for potential disputes or conflicts moving forward? What would you like to share with our professionals out there?
You know, anytime I'm talking to professionals, whether it be divorce coaches, mediators, attorneys, or even judges, I always try to remind them that, you know, we offer a lot of really great, useful tools at Talking Parents. But really, that's what it is. It's a tool. And how different people should be using it kind of depends on their own particular case and the circumstances of their lives. You know, some people need to be limited to only communicating through Talking Parents. Some people don't. You know, sometimes they can still talk through other means. You know, they could still call each other on the phone. They can still text each other. But then what we'll see is that they will agree or be ordered to still utilize Talking Parents as a place to sort of clarify, verify, document any important decisions or discussions regarding the kids. And that, you know, they can even be barred from coming back to court unless they can first show with their initial pleading that they did bring up this issue when it first happened through Talking Parents. And what we offer on the website, if you go to the Talking Parents website, we have a section of information for professionals. Mm-hmm. You know, it's heavily leaning towards, you know, family law attorneys and judges, but it's going to be very useful for divorce coaches as well, to just give a lot of examples of court orders, examples of agreements between the parties, different ways to kind of utilize the service, different ways to utilize the different features, and then different ideas about how much people can be hemmed in to be required to only use the service, or if it's maybe just a smaller part of their overall communication. And so the overwhelming thing is just to be creative and think about how Talking Parents could serve, you know, the actual people involved in whatever situation you're dealing with, because how they use it might be a little bit different and why they use it might be a little bit different. You know, some people may find it very appealing when you're talking to them about just the idea of keeping all of this stuff in one place and keeping their life organized so that these conversations aren't flooding their other inboxes and their text messages. Mm-hmm. Some people love that idea and want to use it just for that. Well, the other parent may not care about any of that, but they might be very, very interested in the idea that this is going to save them money, save them a lot of money in the long run by not having to go back to court. So there are different benefits of the service that are going to appeal to different people. And you may have two parents who initially think that they don't agree on using a service like Talking Parents, but it might be that they're each going to get something different out of it, and that they've each got a good reason for wanting to use it.
So I, as divorce coaches, one of the things that we work on with clients a lot is trying to identify what their goals are, right? So what is my goal here for co-parenting, or what is the problem? What is the conflict I'm dealing with, right? And what's my desired outcome? And so I'm hearing you say, if divorce coaches are educating themselves on the Talking Parents service and that you understand all the options, and you, that might be an opportunity to sit with a client who's bringing a problem or a conflict to me, and me offer then an option to them.
Yeah.
Right. So
that's exactly right. And, you know, and it may be different for each.
I'm hearing it drives me crazy. He texts me 27 times a day and he's blowing up my phone and it interrupts my work day, or it always emotionally dysregulates me. So we can hear what the client is telling us they're having distress about.
Exactly. And that so client might, is wanting to use it for those reasons. But then what if the other parent says, oh, no, I like annoying them.
You know, blowing up your phone.
I like to disrupt them emotionally. I'm not going to use Talking Parents. That's not important to me. That client may be very receptive to the very simple money-saving aspect of using the service. So what you may find is that two parents on opposite sides may have totally different reasons for wanting to utilize Talking Parents, but they're both going to get all the benefits.
Yeah, exactly. So identifying, again, what's their interest? If we talk about, you know, kind of how we go about negotiating, is finding out what everybody's interest is. So if I believe you are sensitive to money, then, but I want to use Talking Parents, I'm going to propose to you as my co-parent, hey, this will keep us out of court. You won't have to be calling your attorney.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. I know that we could talk forever about this. I also know you have a wealth of resources on your website. So if people listening want to learn more about Talking Parents, like, where can they find you and what steps would you recommend that they take?
You know, if you want to know more about Talking Parents, there's nothing better than just going to talkingparents.com.
Okay.
We've got all kinds of information. We've got videos. We've got some sort of online tutorials. We can walk you through, show you all the different features and how they work, all the different things you can do with it. You can view example records, you know, to get an idea of what our records actually look like and what's on them.
Nice.
We have a section for information for legal professionals and divorce coaches and others. So really, there is no better place to learn about Talking Parents than our website at talkingparents.com.
Yeah, it's robust. It really is, you guys. There's a lot of information there. If you have questions about how Talking Parents works, what the benefits of a co-parenting app are, it's all there. So I encourage you to take a look at that.
Yeah. Well, Stephen, we want to thank you so much for taking time to join us here on this podcast. Again, if you're a client or a consumer going through divorce and looking at co-parenting communication, which we know is very challenging, right? We talked about it at the beginning of our show in terms of people are usually having communication difficulty when there's conflict. Conflict and communication are tied so directly together. But learning more about co-parenting apps and Talking Parents, please, please go check out talkingparents.com to learn more. Professionals, be able to share this information with your clients as well.
Yeah.
So I know, Deb, you want to share some information before we wrap with Stephen?
I do, real briefly. You know, before we head out, we want to remind you that the Save Your Sanity Divorce Summit is coming up April 22nd through the 26th. You're going to get free access to more than 25 professional divorce coaches who are ready. I mean, they are ready to share their best tips for preparing for divorce, custody and co-parenting, legal and financial decision-making, conflict and safety, and lots more. So we are sharing, Tracy and I will be there as panelists and moderators, and we're sharing all the information you need so divorce doesn't wreck your mental health, empty your bank account, or derail your future. So go to divorcecoachesacademy.com/summit to see all our featured speakers, all the free prizes and giveaways, and register yourself for the summit today.
Awesome. Thank you, Stephen. It was great getting to chat with you. And we're excited about all the work that you're doing at Talking Parents.
Yeah,
Thank you both so much for having me on. I think that everything you guys are doing there is just fantastic, and you're making a real difference in people's lives.
Thanks. We're doing it together, right?
Right back at you.
We're trying to save people time, money, and emotional energy. That's the goal. That's what you're doing too.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for joining us, guys. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for joining us for the Divorce Coaches Academy podcast. If you enjoyed today's show, please give us a rating on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting app. It helps other divorce professionals find us and add to the conversation. And don't forget to follow us on social media to be the first to know when we add new classes and events. We'll be back next week with another topic to help you maximize client impact, create a thriving business, and promote the value of professional divorce coaching.